From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, more evidence that the social media giants are using their powerful platforms to tilt the political playing field to the left. The latest coming by way of leaked documents and an undercover video from Project Veritas recording a senior Google executive saying big tech is training their algorithms to ensure what happened in 2016 with Donald Trump winning the White House does not happen again. Is it time for Congress to level the playing field for the social media giants? Missouri Senator Josh Hawley is here with more. Also, the White House has communicated to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that H.R. 3401, the Emergency Supplemental Appropriations for Humanitarian Assistance and Security at the Southern Border, well, that's a mouthful, not only falls short of providing the funds to address the crisis, it actually has policy provisions that will make the situation worse. The House Freedom Caucus will be holding a special series of speeches tonight on the House floor to address these concerns. One of the Freedom Caucus members, Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama, joins me a little later here on Washington Watch. And Colorado Congressman Doug Lamborn says PBS is indoctrinating our children with the left's social propaganda. So it's time to end their taxpayer subsidies. Congressman Lamborn is here to discuss his legislation that would do just that. Remove PBS from the federal trough. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. Hey, before I get into my first interview, just a quick reminder. You know, if you listen to Washington Watch, the left is revealing their true colors as they seek to quarantine the expression of religious freedom within the four walls of a church, or worse yet, just within your mind, where you have the freedom to believe but not to act on those beliefs. That, my friend, is not freedom. And incredibly, they have opened the door to government-sanctioned infanticide in America, pushing for abortion on demand, even up to the day of birth. It's clear our freedoms are at stake and innocent lives hang in the balance. FRC will not stop fighting to uphold your religious liberties and to save unborn babies. But we need your help. Our fiscal year ends on June 30th, just a couple of days away, and we must finish this year strong. And right now we have a $25,000 match. It's a challenge match. Every dollar you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar. $10 becomes $20. $50 becomes $100. We've got folks standing by to take your call. As you partner with us to advance faith, family, and freedom, call 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, more evidence emerging from Silicon Valley that the social media giants are trying to tilt the political playing field. Leaked documents, along with a new undercover video from Project Veritas, are adding to the mounting evidence that's already there. Now, the video features a senior Google executive discussing Google's work to prevent the next Trump situation, as they call it. The executive, Jen Janai, the head of responsible innovation for Google, has responded accusing Project Veritas of, quote, selectively editing and distorting her words. Joining me now to talk about this developing story is Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, who serves on the Senate Judiciary Committee and last week introduced legislation that would potentially hold big tech companies accountable for their censorship. Senator Hawley, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks so much for having me.
Senator, first, I want to get your reaction to this news when you heard about this latest source of leaked documents, along with this video from Project Veritas showing more evidence that the big tech companies are trying to tilt the political playing field to the left.
You know, what's really surprising about it, Tony, is just that they're being so candid. But the truth is, we've known that this is what they have wanted to do. We've known that this is their agenda. You see evidence from the previous campaign back in 2016 when Google analysis of Google search results for, you know, presidential election, presidential news seemed to favor Hillary Clinton results over Donald Trump results again and again and again. Here's the scary thing. More and more voters, especially undecided voters, get their news from Google search. Right. I mean, they get their news through that platform. So this platform, with its monopoly power, has the ability to swing undecided votes. I mean, they could potentially swing an election. And there has been empirical studies done that show this. I mean, this is something that we should all be concerned about, and that's why we should say to Google and to Facebook and to Twitter, if they want to get these special immunities from government, these special carve-outs, they ought to abide by First Amendment values.
Well, I want to get to that because you introduced legislation last week. But before I bring up that specific piece of legislation, I want to play a very short clip because you talked about the search engine of Google, where people get their news. And that was a part of this undercover video. I want to play this short clip of this Google executive caught by Project Veritas. All right, that was recorded in a restaurant, and it's kind of hard to hear, but here's what they said. We are also training our algorithms. If 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different? 2020 is certainly on the top for my old organization. Trust and safety's top of mind. They have been working on it since 2016 to make sure that we are ready for 2020. Senator, that's what you're talking about. The search is the algorithms, which directs what people get when they do a search. Again, it is amazing to me that they're so blatant and openly talking about this, but we need to take notice of this. If they're talking about it openly, saying that they're adjusting the algorithms, that they're going to direct what people get, we need to listen to what they're saying and act upon that now.
Yeah, I mean, exactly right. I mean, we should take seriously what they admit that they're doing, let alone what they're doing that we don't know about. We've got another Google executive employee in the same Project Veritas operation that's on the record. It gets caught saying that we need to make sure that we're able to prevent the Trump situation or this Trump situation so that it doesn't happen again. What we're talking about here is the will of the voters, Tony. We're talking about democracy. I mean, you've got Google executives and Google employees saying we want to manipulate the information that goes to voters so that they will vote the way that we, Google, want them to vote.
Right. Right.
That's not democracy. That's not the rule of the people. That's ruled by this multinational corporation named Google that, by the way, gets all these special deals from the federal government. And this is my point. Google shouldn't be getting special deals and special immunities from the federal government if they're going to try to influence the outcome of elections, if they're going to censor conservatives.
Well, let's talk about that, Senator, because we're not just analyzing the problem here. You've actually taken steps to address it. Last week, introducing the Ending Support for Internet Censorship Act. This amends Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act to encourage major tech platforms to provide content moderation that is politically neutral. So explain exactly what your legislation would do and the outcome.
Well, what it says is in exchange for these special immunities that Google and Facebook and Twitter get from the federal government, they should have to submit to an audit that shows that they are not discriminating against conservatives or against any other political viewpoint. I mean, basically what we're asking to do is, why don't you embrace the First Amendment values that all of us as Americans agree on, which is that, you know, free speech ought to be free. That doesn't mean Google has to promote conservative speech. Just don't discriminate against it. And if Google doesn't want to do that, because they're a private company, Tony, if they don't want to do that and they want to be out there as a progressive left-wing company, that's fine. But then they shouldn't get these special deals, the special immunity from government. They need to choose. If they're going to get their special status, then they should embrace the First Amendment values that Americans all agree on.
Hey, Senator, let me ask you this. You know, some people say, well, we don't want government involved in the Internet. We don't want the government involved in this. This is the way we communicate. But, I mean, how is this not like Mall Bell years ago when, you know, they had a monopoly on a means of communication, and the government has long overseen these monopolies. And when you think about it, these big tech companies are now really the guardians of what has become the virtual public square.
Well, it is true, Tony, that they exercise, Google, for instance, of just incredible control. I mean, they are overwhelmingly the predominant search engine. Their control of news and information is really unprecedented in the country, in our history. I mean, you have to go all the way back to the turn of the century. So that is absolutely true. Here's the other thing, though, Tony, is that the same companies and the same a lot of these same people said just a year ago that we couldn't possibly change the law to make sure that we got sex trafficking off of these platforms. They said, oh, no, you can't do that. I mean, if that's government interference.
Right.
I mean, banning sex trafficking online is government regulating the internet. It's a slippery slope. It'll shut down the internet. That hasn't happened. That's just nonsense. And so I would just say to my libertarian friends out there, the same people who opposed getting rid of sex trafficking online and now say, oh, no, we can't possibly hold Google to a First Amendment standard. Is this really what you want? I mean, you really want to empower this company to get special deals from government and use those special deals to try and influence elections? I mean, that's your vision of what democracy is? That's crazy.
Senator, explain the immunity, the special deal that they get from the government that basically shields them from a lot of responsibility.
Exactly. You know, if Twitter takes away, as too many conservatives have experienced, Twitter takes away your account or Facebook takes down your post because they don't like that it's pro-life, there's currently nothing you can do to Facebook or to Twitter. I mean, there's nothing you can do. They have immunity from liability, and the government gives them that immunity. Now, that's not the same, Tony, for a traditional media, whether it's television or newspapers or even online journalists. All of those journalists, if they print stuff that's not true, if they slander you, if they discriminate against you, you can sue them. They can be held accountable. But these internet companies get this special carve-out that no media company gets, no journalist company gets, no other entertainment platform gets. They get it specially. Government gave it to them. And what I'm saying is this, if they want to continue to get that special carve out, which has allowed them to grow and become monopolies, essentially, then they should embrace the First Amendment. And the First Amendment just says you cannot discriminate against speech on the basis of political viewpoint. That's something I think all Americans can agree on. The First Amendment is something we all hold in common and believe in. Let's hold these companies to that standard. And if they don't want to do that, fine. But no more special deals.
So they have a choice. They can either treat everyone fairly and allow people to express their views on their platforms uncensored in terms of the political ideological content, or they lose their immunity where they can be held accountable for what they do to people who try to communicate on those platforms.
That's exactly right. I mean, that's exactly right. And I think that, again, it is not too much to ask that these big companies, and my bill would only apply to the biggest companies, because the truth is, you know, we need more competition. I mean, we need more platforms. We need more platforms challenging Google and Facebook and Twitter. So my bill only applies to the biggest companies, to those that actually have monopoly power and can shut off speech, you know, those that can put their thumb on the scale of an election. It only applies to them, and it just says, again, embrace the First Amendment if you want to get these special carve-outs. Otherwise, you know, again, if they want to be liberal companies, they want to influence the debate in a liberal way, that's fine.
Yeah.
But we ought to treat them then like any other publisher.
Sounds like a fair deal to me. Senator Josh Hawley, as always, great to have you on. Thanks so much for taking time out to join us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Folks, I want to encourage you to encourage your members of the Senate to support this bill. I'll have more about this a little bit later in the program. But coming up next, the House Freedom Caucus going to the House floor tonight to stand with the president in the border security. You'll want to hear more about this from Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama. He's here next on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleaston, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis. Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more.
If you're like me, you care about the future of our country. Now more than ever, it is vital that we stand up for biblical values. This year, you can. Come to the annual Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. on October 11th through the 13th and join thousands of Americans like you who want to change the culture so that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. This year, we're calling on Americans to pray, to vote, and to stand firm as we fight back to win the culture. Invited and confirmed speakers include Dana Lesh, Sebastian Gorka, Bill Bennett, Laura Ingraham, and Reverend Franklin Graham. Now is the time to stand for truth. There will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a biblical worldview on issues like religious liberty, the LGBT movement, the sanctity of life, the realities of socialism, and more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there is no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they are born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. All right, let me go ahead and give you this bill information. It is S-1914, Ending Support for Internet Censorship Act. And here's what I'd like you to do. I was talking with Senator Hawley about this, and you know he's been on this for a while, even back when he was Attorney General of Missouri. He has been on, like down in Louisiana, we'd call white on rice when it comes to the big tech companies and how they've been exploiting the people. You know, how they've been taking your information and selling it, and now how they're tipping the scale politically. So he needs your help, all right? This is one of those, this is, as I say, defending the republic is not a spectator sport. It is a participatory sport. We need your help. So the Capitol switchboard number is 202-225-3121 is for the Senate. 202-225-3121 will put you in touch with your senator, your two senators. So go ahead and call them and ask them, this is what you want to ask them. Are you supporting the Ending Support for the Internet Censorship Act? It's Senate Bill 1914. Please support Senator Hawley in the Ending Support for Internet Censorship Act, okay? All right. Former President Barack Obama's DHS Secretary, Jay Johnson, highlighted the urgent situation at the border on MSNBC's Morning Joe a couple of months back. Johnson said his secretary, over 1,000 apprehensions in a day would frustrate him, but the apprehension rate continues to rise. Here's a short clip of what he had to say.
I know that 1,000 overwhelms the system. I cannot begin to imagine what 4,000 a day looks like. So we are truly in a crisis.
And that's where we're at. And with that as a backdrop, the Trump administration has announced that it strongly opposes House Resolution 3401, introduced by Democratic Senator Nita Lowey of New York, that it's known as the Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Act, for humanitarian assistance and security at the southern border. Now, in a statement of administration policy released yesterday by the White House, the Trump administration said, after ignoring the administration's request for desperately needed funding to address the humanitarian crisis at the border for over a month, and despite the efforts of the House minority, the House majority has put forth a partisan bill that underfunds necessary accounts and seeks to take advantage of the current crisis by inserting policy provisions that would make our country less safe. Policy provisions that would hinder the administration's effort to enforce our immigration laws and protect children. Joining me now to discuss this is a member of the House Freedom Caucus. The House Freedom Caucus is, by the way, planning a series of speeches from the House floor to highlight this problem tonight. Joining us, Congressman Noel Brooks of the 5th District of Alabama. He serves on the Armed Services Committee and the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
My pleasure.
Now, you and your colleagues have been working hard to address this issue, making sure that the supplemental appropriations for the humanitarian assistance covers all the bases, but the majority in the House will have no part of that.
Well, let's be clear. My view is a little bit, well, substantially different from many in the House of Representatives, particularly on the Social Democrat side. To me, what we should be doing with all these minors that come across the border and virtually everybody else is quickly deporting them back home where they can be reunited with their families. What the American people don't understand is that we have ongoing on the border right now because of Democrat policies that give you a pass if you happen to come across the border with a minor, is we have rent-a-kid projects that are ongoing, many of which are organized and run by drug cartels, where basically if you're an illegal alien crossing the border, you rent a kid, you bring him into the United States of America. That's your free pass under the Socialist Democrats' policies to stay in America. You, of course, get all the happy meals and the welcome mats and the health care and everything else at taxpayer expense that goes along with coming in the United States of America. And then the illegal aliens are supposed to drop the rent-a-kid off at a particular place in the United States of America, probably a cartel member, and then that cartel member takes the kid back across the border into Mexico, at which point the kid is then available to be rented again. And the cartels are making a lot of money off this side business to their drug trade. And it, for the life of me, I don't understand. I'm frustrated by it. I'm sure the president is frustrated by it, that the Socialist Democrats are so willing to allow this child abuse in furtherance of their goal of open borders.
Well, we actually talked about this a few weeks ago, where a year or so ago we had recommended to the Attorney General, then Jeff Sessions, the use of the field testing of the DNA, which there's been a couple of pilot programs that have been put into place, which have shown just what you've said, that the vast majority of these children were coming across with adults who they were not related to, even though they were claiming such. So you're absolutely right. We have evidence now to suggest that these children are being used, and this also includes the issue of human trafficking that's not being picked up on.
That is the way it is. That is the way the Socialist Democrats want it. They want to appeal to our heartstrings. And in the process of doing so, they use that as a mechanism by which they push for even more open borders. You need to, your audience needs to understand the big picture here. The Democrats are not satisfied with American citizens and how we vote. The Democrats are not satisfied with our belief systems, our faith in the United States Constitution, our foundational principles that made us who we are. And so what the Democrats are trying to do is import large numbers of people, over 70% of whom are dependent on welfare once they get in the United States of America. At least that's the case with households that have an illegal alien in them. These are made for Democrat Party voters. And so they're trying to change the American voter pool to include people who are not familiar with our foundational principles and use that as a way to gain political power over the rest of us as they try to implement their socialist ideals.
Well, they may have met their match in the president. He says he'll veto their measure. Congressman, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. As always, great to talk with you.
My pleasure.
Congressman Noel Brooks of Alabama. All right. Does it bother you that PBS is using your tax dollars to indoctrinate your children with the left's social agenda? Well, Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado is, and he is taking steps to end their taxpayer subsidies. He joins us next with the details. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there's no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they're born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive. Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleaston, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis. Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more.
You are listening to Washington Watch, and I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us. Website, TonyPerkins.com. Hey, folks, this is the end of our fiscal year, and in order for us to do what we do, we've got to have partners like you. And we're grateful for those of you across the country that stand with us as we advance faith, family, and freedom. And right now, we've got a $25,000 match that has been pledged that if you, for every dollar you give, it'll be matched with a dollar. $10 becomes $20. 50, 100, you get it. We've got folks standing by to take your call. 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008, to be a part of keeping Washington Watch on the air and FRC, advancing faith, family, and freedom here in our nation's capital. The Corporation for Public Broadcasting received $445 million a year from taxpayers over the last 2 years. My next guest says that's money used to indoctrinate our children with the left's propaganda. Joining me now is Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, who has introduced legislation that would eliminate the federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and National Public Radio. He represents the 5th District of Colorado and serves on the Natural Resources Committee and the Armed Services Committee. Congressman Lamborn, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hello, Tony. It's always good to talk with you.
Well, I am grateful you're taking this issue on. The president actually zeroed this out in his budget. Congress put it back in last year. But you make a point in an op-ed piece that you've written that these dollars, which is only – they're only 15% of the overall budget for the agency or the entity, but they're using that those monies against the values of many parents across the country.
Well, that's exactly right, Tony. It's a disturbing and new development. I mean, I've always traditionally said – hey, this is an organization that can stand on its own 2 feet. Let them do that. They don't need the taxpayer money. They have some popular programming. They have advertising revenue. They really don't need the taxpayer money to survive. They can thrive without it. So let's cut these annual deficits we have by $500 million. That's serious money.
But you know what's happened recently, Tony, is that they're starting to air on the their children's cartoon show Arthur some pro-gay marriage. They had a pro-gay marriage segment.
Right.
And the writer who wrote that said, quote, that's not the kind of world we want to live in. We want our children educated so they can see there's not just one type of family. So it's a, not a traditional value approach to marriage. And he was kind of pushing it as his viewpoint. And, you know, it's one thing if a private TV show on one of the networks does something like that. But this is taxpayer subsidized. And people of faith, people with traditional values, don't want their tax dollars necessarily going to promote something they really totally disagree with.
Right. And it's frustrating for parents that you have cartoons where you think it would be safe for PBS. And this is a long running. We talked about this this program, Arthur, one of the longest running, or the longest running cartoon on television. And, you know, they're using this to undermine the values of the parents to take these messages subtly to the children. And you're just saying, hey, you got a right to do that, but not necessarily with our tax dollars.
Well, that's exactly right. I believe in freedom of speech if you're paying for it yourself. But why should people who are church-going and have traditional values subsidize something they totally disagree with? And also on NPR, Tony, when you watch them, for instance, how they cover the abortion debate, they don't call people pro-life who are opposing abortion. They call them anti-abortion, I believe. They're not really even-handed in how they deal with that subject. And that's maybe kind of a subtle thing, but it just shows that in some ways there's a left-winging progressive bias. And once again, should all taxpayers of this country have to subsidize that?
Well, Congressman Lamborn, let's be real. When PBS, public broadcasting, was launched decades ago, there may have been a need for it. But today, with all of the media outlets that are out there, do we really need a government-subsidized media arm?
I don't believe we do. Times have changed. We don't just have the three networks now, and there needs to be a fourth viewpoint. We have hundreds. When you include the internet, and what's everything that's on the airwaves, TV, radio, etc., you have hundreds of outlets, hundreds of diverse viewpoints. There's no need to put out taxpayer dollars in these days of high deficits for another viewpoint when there's hundreds out there.
Yeah, if it were up to the government, they would still be producing buggy whips. it's just they don't keep up with the time. And once something is created by government, it never goes away. How can folks help with this, Congressman Lamborn?
If they talk to their senators and their representatives in Washington and say, let's stop funding Corporation for Public Broadcasting and NPR once and for all.
All right. Well, we'll get them to weigh in on that. So thanks so much for taking the lead on that. And thanks for joining us today as well, Congressman Lamborn.
As always.
All right. Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado. You heard him. Weigh in. In fact, you can weigh in here next on Washington Watch. What do you think? Is it time for public broadcasting to go the way of the buggy whip? Should we be spending $500 million a year? I mean, there's two issues here. One is what they're pumping out, the indoctrination of our children. I mean, Big Bird, big bucks. Look, do we really need that? Secondly, the landscape has changed. All right, taking your phone calls here on Washington Watch.
Today, military personnel are at greater risk than ever of suffering from a mental health condition. On average, 21 active and retired military members take their own lives every day. Richard Gleaston, a military and veteran advocate in the area of mental health, recently shared evidence that faith-based solutions can help stop this crisis Here's what Richard had to say.
There's new science out that they watch people while they're praying or have a religious relationship. The frontal part of their brain, if I'm correct in remembering what they told me, it strengthens it. It reduces depression, reduces anxiety and stress while you're doing it. So not only did God give us prayer as a way to alleviate our spirit, it also alleviates our mind and our bodies. Our bodies react in a positive way to a faith-based relationship.
Visit frc.org/speakers to hear more.
If you're like me, you care about the future of our country. Now more than ever, it is vital that we stand up for biblical values. This year, you can. Come to the annual Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. on October 11th through the 13th and join thousands of Americans like you who want to change the culture so that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. This year, we're calling on Americans to pray, to vote, and to stand firm as we fight back to win the culture. Invited and confirmed speakers include Dana Lesh, Sebastian Gorka, Bill Bennett, Laura Ingraham, and Reverend Franklin Graham. Now is the time to stand for truth. There will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a biblical worldview on issues like religious liberty, the LGBT movement, the sanctity of life, the realities of socialism, and more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Did you know that babies survive failed abortions? Sadly, many of these babies are denied their human right to life and are allowed to die. Currently, there is no federal criminal statute in place to protect these babies after they are born alive. Congress and state legislatures across the country have responded by putting forth legislation to protect infants who survive abortion. However, leftist politicians have blocked efforts in Congress and in state legislatures to pass the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which requires that life-saving medical care be given to babies born alive after failed abortion attempts. We must decide as a country where we stand on the issue of infanticide, to either pursue humane protections for those most vulnerable in our society, or continue to subject innocent human life to the whims of abortionists. For more information, visit frc.org/bornalive.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. And again, let me remind you, we've got folks standing by to take your phone call if you'd like to partner with the Family Research Council. We're coming down to the end of our fiscal year, and we have a pledge grant that's been put out there that for every dollar that is given, it'll be matched. So for this short period of time here, this week, as we come down to the end of the fiscal year, you can make a contribution to FRC and have it matched. 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Folks standing by to take your phone call. I'm also standing by. Actually, I'm sitting to take your phone call as well, as we were just discussing with Congressman Doug Lamborn of Colorado, who has introduced a bill that would basically eliminate public broadcasting from being at the federal trough at the tune of about $500 million a year. Now, search the Constitution over and over and can't find anywhere in the Constitution where it says anything about the federal government being in the television business or media programming. You know, the time has come to get the government out of this business. In fact, as I mentioned, the president in his budgets has zeroed out public broadcasting, but Congress put it back in. Congressman Lamborn, really the trigger being the episode of Arthur, which we talked about. By the way, here's the phone call to give me the number to give me a call. 866-372-7233. 866-FRC Radio. 866-372-7234. So what do you think? Is it time to end government funding of public broadcasting. Has the time come to pull the plug on government funding of PBS and NPR? So anyway, what I was saying is that one of the triggers on this latest uprising and push, legitimate, I should say, push to end the funding of PBS and NPR. That was a Freudian slip saying Planned Parenthood, you know, birds of a feather flock together. The episode of Arthur titled Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone is where they had basically a same-sex wedding, marriage, promoting this as normal to our children, undermining the values of parents. And, you know, we came out very strongly against that at FRC. My good friend Franklin Graham, he spoke out about that. And now we have Doug Lamborn taking action on Capitol Hill. 866-372-7234. Phone lines are lit up. Let's go to Scott in Richmond, Virginia. Scott, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for taking my call. You kind of stole my thunder a little bit. I have a copy of the Constitution on my desk, and I occasionally will open it up and just read it. And I have never seen anything regarding media or PBS or anything that the Founding Fathers could even dream of, like newspapers or something like that, that the federal government should be explicitly funding. And according to the Constitution, unless it's explicitly in there, the federal government has no right to be in it. So basically about 80% to 90% of our federal government is unconstitutional. And we really need to take back our government, put the power back to the states and localities and individuals, and have our federal government be there for the common defense, promoting the general welfare, and securing our blessings of our liberty.
Well said. Yeah, well said.
Thank you.
And that's why it's important to have a president who has systematically put men and women on the court that are constitutionalist, because he's absolutely right. There is so much being done in this country that is outside the framework of the Constitution. And they got this, you know, the general welfare clause is where it's the big bucket they put all of this stuff into and justify it. Well, even with that, the time has come where we no longer need to be providing government assistance to public broadcasting. Again, you may have missed it. I didn't hit on it really hard in the interview with Congressman Lamborn. But this half a billion, dollars a year is only 15% of their overall budget. I mean, they get millions off the public broadcasting merchandise, you know, the big birds and all that stuff that they license out there. They get millions off of that. But we're subsidizing it. And again, subsidizing it so that they can send a message that undermines our values. And there's still many, many parents that, you know, public broadcasting was a safe place. Well, it's not safe anymore. It's not. All right, let's go to Jim in Oklahoma. Jim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Good talk to you. You there?
I am. Go right ahead, Jim.
Hey, I just wanted I'm a nationwide truck driver, and I out of Oklahoma. And you get around the colleges at NPR and PBS or whatever it is, those radio stations will crowd out most anything. I don't know whether they got more wattage or what.
Good point.
But they'll drown out about anything. The closer you get to the colleges, the more they drown them out. And I have to listen to them every once in a while because I'm blowing through the neighborhood. So I just listen, and they're telling that they're only getting $50,000 a year and all kinds of stuff. And I've been listening to this about defunding that, it seems like, since the Reagan era. You know, I don't know why it's so hard to get it defunded. But that's all I got, Tony. It's so good to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Jim, and be safe on the road. You know, that's an interesting point. They are high wattage stations, and they do. They have powerful signals. And they do kind of, they'll crowd out the other stations on the radio. It has been talked about, just like so many things have been talked about, going back to the last conservative, real conservative president prior to Trump, Ronald Reagan, who, you know, talked about these things, but quite frankly was not able to deliver on much. Large part of that's because it takes the act of Congress. And, you know, you've heard that before. Well, that'll take an act of Congress. Well, now you see why it's so hard. But we have a president now. For all of his, you know, flaws that people like to point out, his tweets and his, you know, sometimes harsh demeanor, he is about getting results, getting things done. And quite frankly, he's headed in the right direction when it comes to defending the Constitution. And this is a great place to start. I think this is another one of those things that I think this president could get done. Now, obviously, he's got a lot of other things on his plate. Congress could help out. So it certainly is helpful if you'll encourage your members of Congress to come along side him and support the zeroing out of some of these government agencies and government programs and subsidies that are no longer needed. All right, let's go to Les in St. Louis, Missouri. Les, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you. I have a question. First of all, why would you think that PBS and NPR is any more unsafe than it ever was? I mean, they're saying the same things now that they've always said, which isn't pro any certain faith at all.
Well, it's not a faith I'm talking about, but I'm talking about for children's programming in particular. And we were talking about the recent episode of Arthur that was, you know, promoting a view, an unnatural view of marriage, of same-sex marriage, which is in contradiction with a lot of people's view of what marriage is. And it's one thing to do that, but it's another thing to do it with taxpayer money.
But you do, and also, I mean, we all pay taxes, whether we're Christian or any other faith or no faith at all. So, you know, I don't think we should be pushing any one faith. And I think it's faith-based that you say it's unnatural to, for instance, two women to get married or two men or, you know, I think that's based on your faith, on your
it
belief.
Is. It
your
is.
Religious belief. Yeah, right. And so that's
but I don't have, but I don't have a government, but I don't have a government supported radio program. The government doesn't send me a check in order for me to do this radio program and talk about these issues from my religious biblical viewpoint.
Absolutely. I think you have every right to have your radio show on the air, and I like
not have the government send me a check to do it.
Okay, but the government sends them a check, but they don't push anyone. That's what I'm saying.
They do. They push a viewpoint. They're not neutral. Just as Doug Lamour was talking. Well, not we're not talking about this religious, but when we talk about religious freedom in this country, we're talking about the ability to teach your children according to your faith. And marriage and life are two very, well, I mean, they're rooted in morality and in truth. And they're very important.
But is
when
their
it comes
morality a bad morality? Yeah, is their morality a bad morality, or it's just a bad morality based on your religious beliefs?
Well, Les, they have a right to promote their viewpoint. I have defended. I mean, look, I was in the Marine Corps. I've been a police officer. I defend the First Amendment. My point is.
Yeah.
They don't have a right to say that with my money, just as I don't have a right to say what I say with their money.
Yeah, I think we're not just connecting together on, you know, what my point is and your point is different than mine. I mean, you're not quite hearing my point, which is what your pushing your opinion is based on your religious belief. What they're pushing is no one's religion, which is a good thing. It's the money that's paid for to support them has no basis in anyone's religious belief. It's neutral.
Well, I mean, look, no, that's not true. They have a secular view that is pushing a viewpoint
that's
on
a
marriage. Oh, no, is it? It is.
Yeah.
It is, especially when you talk about pushing a viewpoint on marriage that has no basis in history, is contrary to religious teaching, and you want to promote that as normative to my children with my money, that's problematic.
Can I say one more thing that relates to what we're talking about? I always seem to think about, and I like to say that I believe religious freedom should be, and it is in our country, that you can believe anything you want, and you can pray at church, you can pray at home, you can pray anywhere, to tell you the truth. And the point is, the government will not come into your house or your place of prayer and take you away. You are allowed to practice your religious beliefs, but it's your own personal beliefs. It shouldn't be. That's what freedom of religion is.
No, that's the Barack Obama freedom of worship. Freedom of religion is not only the ability to believe, it is the freedom to act upon those beliefs. It's the free exercise thereof. It's the ability, as the Puritans had when they came to this country, to build community around those principles and those views. It's the ability to teach your children and pass to subsequent generations those viewpoints and not have them undermined by the government. That's religious freedom, and that's what's at stake in our country today.
I think it could go too far, though. For instance, do you think that we should have Bibles in the school, the public schools?
Do I believe that the schools should pass out Bibles? No, but I believe that the Gideons should be able to give students Bibles if the children want them.
In the public school? I think it should be out of the public school.
You have a problem with a nonprofit coming in, Gideon's, and just if a child wants a Bible, being given a Bible?
Yeah.
You do. Well, we have a difference of agreement there. Hey, Les, I'm sorry. I've given you a lot of time. I've got to cut you off because we're out of time here on the program. But thanks so much for listening, and keep listening. Folks, I think religious freedom is the ability to live your life according to your faith, to teach your children those things, to structure your life and take them in the marketplace, to exercise those in the realm of education. Now, it's not to force that on somebody else, but you shouldn't have to hide your faith because someone else doesn't like it. That's what this country was built upon. That was why the pilgrims came here. They didn't come here just so they could worship freely. They had that in Holland. They came here to live life and build a country according to their biblical faith. All right, you know what that music means. Yeah, you'll have to wait till tomorrow for more. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.